gospel reading. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that by faith we may see your presence with us now as we hear your word. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, so they may be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's when society doesn't understand something, it has been a recent trend to label it as fear. The two recent topics are homophobia and Islamophobia, phobia being the Greek word for fear. So if you disagree with something like same-sex marriage, you are often labelled homophobic, even though there may not be a fear involved, but rather simply a disagreement. Likewise, if you speak out against Islam, you may be labelled also Islamophobic, again, even though there is no fear actually involved. So whether you disagree or agree with those labels, the reality is that our natural human response to the unknown is fear. Fear of the unknown is what we often referred to. Now the Christian faith takes fear of the unknown and introduces hope, so that the unknown, even though it may not be seen, no longer creates fear for us. The best example for Christians is death. Death creates a lot of emotions that is connected with grief. It can cause anger, it can cause doubts, and it can cause fear. Jesus himself, grieving for his friend Lazarus, we hear that he wept, even though Jesus knew exactly where death leads. St. Paul says grief is a natural human response. It's our way of continuing to show love to a loved one after they have died. But he says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed, so therefore dealing with the unknown. We don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of humankind who have no hope. So there we see that hope is what brings into the unknown comfort. Paul is saying that grief is a part of death, but that Christian hope, brought about by faith in Christ, has a different reaction in Christians as opposed to those who have no hope. And that's because without faith and hope, the unknown remains that. It remains unknown. But faith reveals a truth about something. The truth is, as Jesus said to those grieving at Lazarus' funeral, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. So Jesus answers the unknown of death by revealing that there is a resurrection at the end of life. In our Old Testament reading, we heard about Abraham. Abraham's life was all about faith into the unknown. It began when God told him to leave the known. Leave your family, leave your friends, leave your homeland, and go to a new land that I will show you. So he had to leave what was known and venture into the unknown. And he does so without fear. In today's Old Testament reading, we hear again about Abraham, who is facing a new fear. He is aging, and he has fears because he has no child that will carry on his family name. Again, he is asked to have faith in God. God says, look toward heaven and count the stars if you can. So shall your descendants be. even though at the present time that future looks totally unrealistic. And it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. And now God asks us to live by faith. But what does it mean to live by faith? Well, our Bible reading in Hebrews says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith, as I said earlier, brings hope into the unknown, into the unseen. It acknowledges that faith doesn't necessarily make the seen or the unseen seen, but it makes the unknown known. Big difference. The unseen remains unseen, but the unknown now becomes known through faith. And so Jesus says to his disciples, who are about to go into unknown areas with a gospel message, and they have no idea how the people are going to react. But he says, do not be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then he tacks on a rider. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, why would Jesus add that clause? Sell your possessions and give to the poor. It's because when we fear, we cling to things we can see. Things that give us security, like our possessions. And so Jesus is saying, let go of them, the things you would normally cling to, and live by faith. And that's the whole purpose of your baptism. We cannot see the effects of our baptism. Being baptized doesn't mean you're going to be employed from the time you leave school to the time you retire. Baptism doesn't mean you won't experience difficulties in your relationships. Being baptized doesn't mean you're not going to get sick or face a terminal disease. Being baptized doesn't mean you won't experience grief of losing a loved one. What does baptism mean then? Baptism allows us to live, knowing that our life is heading towards an eternal life in heaven. That's where the comfort comes. Being baptized allows us to live without the fear of what the world does to us in this short time that we live. The world limits our vision to the physical. And the physical often frightens us. Because when we do have a look around us, we see war, we see famine, we see disease. We see all sorts of things that constrain and limit our joy and freedom. We live wondering when the next terror attack will happen. We live wondering whether I'll have enough to retire on. We live wondering if our children will be able to own their own home in the future. We live wondering whether I'll have a job tomorrow. Now, being baptized and living by faith doesn't mean those things won't ever affect us. But it means that those things don't define the way we live our lives. We don't live in fear. Instead, our lives are lived looking forward to the unfailing treasure in heaven, as Jesus called it. And he says, there no thief comes near, no moth destroys. The difficulties and the sufferings that we go through in this life are only in this life. And when we compare what is coming, they should not even register. I mean, what is 120 years? That's the maximum life that God set for human beings. An age that most people will never ever reach. What is 120 years compared to eternity? St. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that we receive in heaven. But sadly, too many baptisms are neglected. I don't need to convince you of that. Maybe someone you know, or maybe someone from your family, has seemingly neglected their baptism. But the blessing of baptism is that God never neglects a baptism. Abraham had to wait a lifetime to see the promise that was made to him fulfilled. He was 100 years old when he became the father of Isaac. In fact, Abraham had given up on the promise. He decided to take matters into his own hands. And he has a child with Hagar and gives birth to Ishmael. But you know, not even Abraham's lack of faith would undo the promise of God as he is told to keep waiting for the true firstborn in Isaac. So too, when those we have seen baptized in our congregation don't return, we continue to put our faith in God, that he will honor his promise, even if we don't honor our promise. He said, "I am with you always till the end of the age, even if you are not always with me." That's the hope that we do not see. And that's the fear that often comes when we see those we baptize not come. We cling to the promises of God in our baptism. So our baptism means we don't live by fear, but we live waiting for our call home to heaven, whenever that might be. We don't have to worry when it is, because our baptism keeps us ready. Jesus says, "Be like those waiting for their master to return, so that they may open the door as soon as he comes and knocks." Cherish your baptism, because it will remove the fear by the promise that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. There's no clauses there. There's no clauses, whoever believes and is baptized and gets along to church every Sunday. Don't be guided by the things you see, but allow your baptism to give you the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Sadly, we don't see the eternal life. We see what is here now, death and destruction. But don't be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. And until then, may the peace of God that surpasses all of our understanding keep your hearts and your minds forever in Christ Jesus. Amen.